T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's talk to Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Albert, in the last 2 days, we've heard Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward all talk about potential contract extensions, all say they're not worried about it right now. But Nick Chubb specifically, and maybe Wyatt Teller as well, who hasn't talked yet, their contracts are both up at the end of this season. I know there's a lot of people who think, well, it's an analytics-based team. They're not going to spend big money on a running back. Nick Chubb said that his agents have talked with the Browns already. I think their backfield combo and their offensive line is what makes them special. Do you believe they will work out an extension with Nick Chubb this offseason?
I think they will, and I think that the reason why, even though I think people who are sort of from that realm, the analytics realm, tell you never pay running backs, and I think Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry understand the, I guess, emotional value that, that Nick Chubb has to the team and how the team's identity sort of flows through him. And so, you're still relatively new, and I think with each contract and with each dollar you spend, you're sending a message to your locker room what you reward. And, I can't imagine that anybody embodies what they want in players more than Nick Chubb embodies what they want in players, you know? And so, even if it's, uncomfortable to go to, $12 million or $13 million a year with him, I think there's just sort of an intrinsic value there that they get back, which is, if you do right by us, we're going to take care of you. That's, a powerful thing in an NFL locker room, because then everybody else can look and say, there's a guy who did everything right and who is everything that they've asked us to be, and here he is getting rewarded. So I think for that reason, they'll find a way to reach some level of middle ground. And look, if you look last year, a bunch of running backs were up for extensions, and most of them got done. And you see where, Kamara's deal and Joe Mixon's deal and Dalvin Cook's deal, they were all relatively reasonable, where the guys got rewarded and they got good money up front, but it didn't handcuff the team for 4 years. So I'd imagine they'll be able to find some level of middle ground based on, the deals that the guys like Mixon and Cook and Kamara did last year.
Albert, if you're the Browns, how do you navigate the Baker Mayfield contract situation?
It's tough, Dustin, because, the history is there's no real B-level for quarterback contracts, right? It's really, historically been hard to find, a second level. And that's why, there was that string, and I don't know how well you guys remember this, but, Andrew Luck got paid, and I think he was the first one to get to $25 million per. And then after that, it was Derek Carr was the highest-paid quarterback. Then it was Matthew Stafford. Then it was Kirk Cousins. Then it was Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, it was a number of different guys where you wouldn't say that's the best quarterback in the league, but those guys were getting paid that way. And so, that's the tough part about it, is that, where do you find the middle ground? And I think probably the way to do it is to either go a little lower on the total number and then guarantee a lot of it, or go, at the top level as far as, dollars go, and then give yourself escape hatches. There has to be some level of give or take there, but it's a quarterback. You know what I mean? They're expensive. And, that's why I always say, thing with quarterback contracts, they really, put you in a position. They're yes or no, calls, And I think you guys saw, how the contracts that Carson Wentz and Jared Goff did, how those really put those teams in tough spots where, it was hard for those teams to get out from underneath those contracts, and they weren't able to get true value for franchise quarterbacks, you know, as they were starting all over. In fact, Jared Goff's contract became a salary dump. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that's sort of, you know, what I mean is, like, it becomes a yes or no question. Either yes, the guy's a franchise quarterback, or no, he isn't. There's no sort of B level where you say, okay, we're going to give the guy, you know, three quarters of what the top of the market is. If the Browns are able to get that done with Baker Mayfield, I think they'd be the first team to do it. No one's really been able to find that second level for quarterbacks.
You know, Baker was asked about it today, Albert. Here, let's play a quick clip of what he said when he was asked about contract extension talks.
I think everything happens for a reason, and it'll handle itself. So just worried about winning. As I told you guys before, when I was asked about the fifth-year option, it's the same thought process for me, and it'll continue to be that way.
Yeah, he's betting on himself. Obviously, he's probably not in a rush to get something done right now. Is there a sense, you mentioned the Wentz and Goff contracts from the Browns, of, yeah, we believe in him, but we'd like to see it for one more year so we don't end up in a Wentz and Goff situation?
I'm sure they'd like that. You know, you'd always like more information. I think the problem is that, you know, if you look at the history of it again, like, generally teams make this decision after the third year. There aren't a lot where you look at it, you see a team going into the fourth year and then deciding to lock up a guy long term, even when they've even when they've picked up the fifth year option. Jameis Winston's an example of it. Marcus Mariota's an example of it. Both those guys had their fifth year options picked up. Both those guys played their contracts out. Both those guys are on other teams now. So you generally, you know, a team is going to take advantage of timing, and, you know, having 2 years left in the deal. Yeah, it you know, if you want, you can play it out, but it also gives you some flexibility as far as how you spread the money over the deal, and it keeps you from adding another year of inflation onto what the contract's going to be. And so, yeah, I could very easily see the Browns saying, okay, like, well, we feel pretty good with Baker right now and the progress that he's made in that 1 year, and really, if we do a contract with him, let's see if we can kind of maybe tie ourselves to him for two and maybe a little bit of a third year, and that way you aren't going much beyond what you've already got him signed for, you know? So I don't know whether or not they're going to be able to get something done, but I would expect both sides are going to look creatively at it and try to get something done, because I do think that there's a mutual benefit in doing something right now.
Albert, what'd you make of the memo today from the league about the vaccinations for the players and the rules and all that stuff?
I think it's like a pretty clear message, Dustin. We can't make you get the vaccination, but we're going to make it really, really, really hard on you if you don't get vaccinated. And they've sent that message really to all staff, you know, and they've had much better luck getting staff vaccinated than they have you know, getting the players vaccinated. And there's a number of different reasons why players aren't getting vaccinated. You know, some of them are religious. Some of them are health related. Some of them are based on where guys land in the political spectrum. Some of them are historical. You know, I think, you know, we've all heard about, like, the history of
a lot of it's bogus science nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. So,
yeah.
You know, I think, like, it's interesting. So the Bengals are doing something interesting. So tomorrow, the Bengals are offering vaccinations at their stadium for players. And they're selling it to their players as a last chance, okay? So why is this a last chance? Well, if you add the 3-week waiting period between the shots and then the 2-week waiting period after the second shot, you are like 3 days away from the start of training camp. So the Bengals are basically saying to their players, if you come in and get your vaccination at the stadium and you're in and out, like, we're going to make it really easy for you, then you're on track to have a normal training camp. Otherwise, if you don't do it now, like, things are going to be really difficult for you at the start of camp. And I think that might be the most powerful thing is, like, I think a lot of those guys remember how tough last year was. And the one thing that was kind of the saving grace for everybody was, we're all in this. We all have to deal with it. We're all doing it together, right? Well, that's not the way it's going to be this year. You know, you're going to have to show up for camp 5 days early. That means 5 days are coming off of your vacation for you to go through the testing to get entry into the facility, right? So that's the first part of it. Then after that, you got to go through daily testing. If you are vaccinated, then you only get tested once every 2 weeks. Then there's the masks. Then there's the distancing. Then there's the weight room. I mean, it's going to be harder to lift. It's going to be harder to eat. It's going to be harder to meet. Everything's going to be tougher. And so You know, the league and the union can't make like they aren't going to make the players get vaccinated. They're not going to say you have to play in the NFL this year, but they're going to make it very, very uncomfortable for people who aren't vaccinated. That much is incredibly, incredibly clear.
Albert, the only thing I'm confused about is obviously there are different rules if you're vaccinated, if you're not. But what about these teams? Like in baseball, it's a team threshold. If you're 85%, you get everything relaxed. If you're not, how would the team threshold change things if we have separate rules already for vaccinated and non-vaccinated players?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and look, I'm like sort of still kind of kicking around and reporting on that. All I know is like as part of the memo that went out today, that wasn't in there. And that it is going to be an individual to individual basis, but they have floated the 85% threshold around enough where coaches have sort of used it as a goal, and coaches have said, okay, like what are we going to do and what do we need to do to get to the 85% threshold? So right now it's on an individual basis, but I think that there are going to be some things just as far as how the ramp up to training camp works and training camp itself works, where they're going to incentivize teams to have a higher number of players vaccinated.
And I thought it was great to hear because I've been kind of – I feel like the league to some degree and all the sports leagues have kind of used the pandemic in a way recently, not last year, but used it to keep media off the field, out of the locker room. And now if you're vaccinated, I think media members will have the normal access they've had in the past, right?
Yeah, well I'm not sure we're there quite yet. The locker room is still going to be a question, but it seems like it's trending in that direction, you know, and right. – And again, like I had somebody on Twitter say, like, "Well, I wonder how you would react if they were doing the same thing for you." The rules are pretty much the same for us. Like, we're not going to get any real access unless we're vaccinated. So it's for everybody, you know. Like that's for every reporter in the NFL. Like to have normal access, you're going to have to prove that you've been vaccinated. And so, you know, I think it's just an interesting way for the league to go about it. And I do think one of the positive things that's come of this is because the coaches have a real incentive to get the players vaccinated, and because all of us too, like we all have a motivation to get vaccinated now too. You know, it's caused people to kind of seek out a lot of education, and the coaches have made a real effort to try and get people in front of their players to teach them about the medicine. You know, and right. So. Like I know, like Washington and Buffalo, for example, those two teams, and this is sort of interesting. I mean, you guys know about like the African American history with vaccinations and the Tuskegee thing and everything else. Well, I mean, I know Washington and Buffalo deliberately put African American, you know, female African American doctors in front of the players to explain it to them. In fact, in Washington, it was one of the doctors who developed the Moderna vaccine. So I know that the teams have made a real effort to try and educate their players on why it's a good idea to get the vaccine and why you'd be protecting not just yourself but others. And I'll be honest with you, it also makes it all the more baffling when you hear things from guys like Montez Sweat there in Washington, who had access to this doctor and still says he needs more information.
Bizarre.
Albert, you tweeted earlier today about the, you know, the players that don't get the vaccine, they can keep it private, but they still have to wear the masks around the facility. Do you think there could be some sort of, like, segregation among teammates to some degree?
It's going to happen, Dustin. I mean, you know what's interesting is, like, one of the players – now, you guys have find this interesting, all right? Now, I'm not going to divulge the name, but one of the players who actually said that he wasn't going to make public whether or not he'd gotten the vaccine, right? Like, now everybody assumes that those guys are just sidestepping it and not getting vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
Well, I asked somebody I was talking with somebody with the team this player was on. He's like, his response to me was like, that's news to me. The guy's one of the guys not wearing a mask. You know what I mean? Like, so that's how easy it is for players to tell who is and who isn't, coaches, staff. Right. Like, everybody knows who's vaccinated and who's not, because the guys who aren't have to wear masks all over the place. And I do think, like, to some degree, and Dustin, you were in these environments, so you know, I do think, like, the decision to get vaccinated is one of those things that you're not arguing with other players about. I think it probably falls under the same kind of heading as religion, family, money. Sure. You know, like, you just don't, you know, broach those topics unless somebody comes to you with them, you know. But I do think that there is I do think that there's like an influencer thing happening in the locker rooms. And I'll tell you, I went to some of the teams that have done really well, right? Like, so Atlanta's done really well. Well, Matt Ryan was one of the first guys in their locker room to get vaccinated, and it sort of made himself available to his teammates to talk about it. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, one of the first guys to get vaccinated. Now everybody in the locker room, people in the locker room followed him. Cam Hayward in Pittsburgh, maybe the most respected guy in that locker room. Cam Hayward got it, and a lot of people kind of used him as a resource and then wound up getting themselves vaccinated. And as a result, Kansas City, Atlanta, and Pittsburgh are three of the teams that have the most vaccinated guys. So I don't think it's something that, like, where this player is shaming that player for not getting vaccinated, or it's like a scarlet letter when you're wearing a mask around. But I do think that there's a sort of peer pressure happening naturally where when you see one prominent player is getting it, it sort of kind of pushes other guys, at the very least, to really strongly consider it and look into it. And I think the more guys look into it, the more they'll find that it's probably the right thing for them to do.
Absolutely. Albert, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Albert.
Yeah, Albert Breer, MMQB.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.